From the woods to the water, from the bucks to the ducks, your weekday foray out of the office begins now on the Sportsman's Marine Outdoor Show, live on 105.5 FM and WNSP.com. Stay tuned as Alan White talks with fishing and hunting pros, shares tips and tricks, and discusses Alabama's greatest natural resource, the great outdoors. The Sportsman's Marine Outdoor Show, brought to you by Andrews Diesel and Automotive, Equipment Sales Company, Street Seafood and Meat Market, and Blue Water Yacht Sales. Now let's head outdoors with Alan White.
And good afternoon. Welcome to the show. I'm Alan White. Doug is off this week, so I'm soloing it today. We are in the middle of the South Alabama monsoon season. I think yesterday was the first day at my house that I didn't see any rain in a long time. So looking forward to the rain slacking off some, hopefully. And I know everybody else is. We're trying to get the water in the rivers right for better fishing conditions. And Captain Wayne Miller is on the Delta just about every day. He's with us right now with a report for the Weekend Angler. How you doing, Wayne?
Doing great, Alan. I tell you what, it's hot out here today.
I know. But, I was going to ask you, how do you prepare for such hot weather? I know you're out there a lot. I know you probably fish early and go in early, but you're still out there in that hot weather every day. How do you prepare for that?
Well, you know, it's like this morning. It actually, the first 2 hours this morning were a lot hotter than it was on up in the morning because we started getting a breeze, you know, about 8:30.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it really got nice, but early it was so humid. It was really hot. But, you know, I was actually going to mention that today just to tell everybody, you know, this is a time of year where you've really got to pay attention to staying hydrated.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if you take kids out on the Delta. You know, it's, you know, and kids are bad about wanting to drink sugary drinks and all that, but you really need to make sure they're drinking water and Gatorade, something to replenish those electrolytes. And, but, you know, you need to do it for yourself. But I think one of the real keys for me, of course, you know, I'm like you, Alan, we're getting a little bit older, buddy, but, you know, I really, you know, I pay attention closely to making sure my intake of water early in the day. I mean, first thing I do when I get up every morning is drink a bottle of water. And, you know, I try to drink another one real early. So, you know, if you wait until you get hot, it's basically too late. So you really have to pay attention to it and plan ahead to make sure you stay hydrated.
I've always been told that you're supposed to drink water before you get thirsty when it's like this.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, that's the key to it, I think. And it's like I tell people, you know, there's a lot of mornings, man, I really don't feel like drinking a big old bottle of water first thing in the morning. You know, I want to drink my coffee, but I make myself drink that water.
Mm-hmm.
And it really helps me, you know, a lot. So,
yeah.
But, you know, from the standpoint of the conditions we've got on the Delta right now, it's really pretty amazing. I mean, we're basically looking at river stages and water levels that we typically see in February or March and into April. You know, we've got the Mobile River is between 6.5 and 7 feet right now. That's on the Berry reading. The Alabama is at 33 feet at Claiborne. And the Tom Bigby is cresting today at Coffeyville at 26 feet. So that's what's led to all this high water down here. And anybody that has gone across the causeway or gone across any of the local bridges, anything, anywhere you can see these rivers, we're not talking about stained water now. We got muddy water.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, and last week it was really odd because that reading on Berry Steam Plant on the Mobile River was down between 4.5 and 5 feet about a week ago. And I was actually still catching a lot of fish out in the main rivers.
Right.
But with that additional 2 feet of water and that additional flow, and it just really, you know, instead of being stained, it really muddied everything up.
Mm-hmm.
The main river bite has really gotten hurt bad. So, you know, most of the guys that I'm seeing that are out fishing like today, you know, I'm seeing them up in the lakes and up in the creeks, but it's, you know, you really have to go way back up in these creeks and even the big lakes like McReynolds. Mm-hmm. The water's not coming through the head of the lake, but even with these strong tides that we've got moving into a full moon this Saturday, you know, we got an incoming tide in the morning, and it's pushing that muddy water way up in these creeks and lakes. So, you know, my advice to anybody that's going, the fishing has been much better in the afternoons on a falling tide because it has a tendency to clean that water up some as it pours out of these lakes and you know, and creeks. But, you know, the challenge there has been, you know, you got to dance around the thunderstorms. So, but anyway, you know, it's a lot better if you can go out in the afternoons right now. Even though the mornings, you know, you may catch a decent morning like this morning. I mean, we didn't have any rain, you know, had very little cloud cover. But, you know, once I get up in that cleaner water in the lakes or the creeks, I'm basically doing this typical summertime patterns. This morning I caught quite a few fish on a little the little Lotz lure, the little mini buzz, that little double bladed buzz bait that Keith makes. You know, I throw it a lot. It's really a fantastic buzz bait here on the Delta. And then I started throwing some of the spinner baits on up in the morning that Keith makes. And you know, I'll transition, you know, as it gets hotter on up in the morning, I transition and started, you know, fishing some soft plastic. But, you know, it's typical summertime patterns. The only challenge is right now, with the rivers being so high and muddy, we can't get out in those main rivers and fish them like we normally would be doing this time of year.
When you're going into the lakes and going way up to the head of these lakes trying to find better, less muddy water, it's still muddy right now up there. What do you do to it? I mean, I know that you mainly target bass. So are you using more noisy lures to attract those fish and make them be able to find your bait and bite it? Or how do you change your tactics?
Well, you know, it's like this morning. You know, we didn't have really good conditions because you had a, you know, we've got obviously quite a bit of muddy water. But once I got up into, you know, the lakes where I got to some cleaner water, you know, we had an incoming tide. And after fishing about 20 minutes, I could tell that, you know, the fish just weren't aggressive. They weren't chasing anything. You know, I was really having a hard time getting bit. And I was even throwing real, you know, subtle lures like a trick worm. They didn't even want to eat that. So kind of made me transition to that buzz bait. And that's something I do a lot of times because, you know, you kind of override their instinct to eat. And a lot of times in this skinny water early in the day, you can just make one mad with a buzz bait.
Yeah, that's what I
mean, he's just going to hit it because a lot of times I think it's just, you know, it really just aggravating something coming over his head and he wants to get rid of it. But, you know, that's, you know, kind of the way I approach it. I'll transition instead of slowing down. I'll actually go to baits that are bigger, louder, noisier, and just try to cover a lot of water so that I can run into just a few aggressive fish. And, you know, that typically works pretty well. But, you know, in the afternoons, and I talked to a good friend of mine that fished late yesterday afternoon. Now, on that outgoing tide, and we've got a really strong tide cycle right now, but unfortunately that real strong outgoing is in the afternoon. But, man, he caught him good on a Tweety, on a spinnerbait yesterday afternoon, and even had one that was a little over 5 pounds on a spinnerbait.
That's a good fish for our Delta. That's a really good bass. you mentioned the double-bladed buzzbait that Keith makes. I imagine that makes a lot of noise. And I've seen a lot of people, you know, that may not have the knowledge you have on buzzbait fishing. They move those buzzbaits too fast. All you need to do is move that thing across just enough to keep it on top of the water, but slow down a little bit, and you'll get a lot more bites.
Yeah, it really is. And that's one thing I really like about that little double-bladed mini buzz is, you know, I can keep it up and slow it down, and it makes a tremendous commotion on the water. And, you know, I mean, and something else to also remember, you know, when you get to a key spot like a point of grass or around a cypress tree, you know, don't just make one cast on that with a buzzbait. You know, like we were mentioning a few minutes ago, you know, a lot of times you can just make these fish mad. You can make multiple casts.
Yep.
You know, a lot of times it may be the seventh or eighth time I've made a pass by a cypress tree, and then all of a sudden, you know, he'll just absolutely explode on it.
Well, Wayne, you always give us good advice, and thank you for the report. You have a great weekend, buddy.
Okay, have a great one.
And we're going to be right back with Bobby Abrascado right after this.
Sportsman's Marine on the Eastern Shore has been in business since 1950, but they believe that different is better. Not only do they sell top-quality Wellcraft, Edgewater, and Vexus boats, along with reliable Yamaha and Mercury outboards, Sportsman's Marine has also added a full-line marine store and tackle shop, and a full-time fishing captain on staff to answer your questions about inshore and offshore fishing. Add a top-notch service department, and Sportsman's Marine is all you need. Located just off Highway 98 in Fairhope, visit sportsmansmarine.com.
Equipment Sales Company on Highway 59, across from Dental Ease in Bay Minette, is the one-stop shop for all your tractor and lawnmower parts. Equipment Sales Company's low prices and great service is what has built the business for 25 years. Before you buy parts or implements for any brand of tractor or mower, check with Equipment Sales Company first. Call Equipment Sales at 937-5313 or visit them at 2505 Highway 59 in Bay Minette and save yourself some money. Call today, 937-5313.
Andrews Diesel and Automotive on Highway 31 in Spanish Fort has always been the go-to folks for all of your repair needs. But now, for heavy equipment and agricultural equipment repairs, they'll come to you. If your production is stopped because of heavy equipment breakdown, just give Andrews Diesel and Automotive a call at 251-375-0748. They have multiple service trucks and expert technicians that will be there quickly and get your problem solved. Andrews Diesel and Automotive keeps you in business. Like them on Facebook.
With summer here, it's time to take care of those pesky boat problems you've been putting off. Visit Blue Water Yacht Sales today so you'll be ready to hit the water in the warmer weather. Blue Water is a full-line Yamaha outboard dealer and is a 5-star gold service facility with a Yamaha Master Tech on hand. And now is the time to start looking for that new boat you've been dreaming about. Blue Water carries a full assortment of inshore and offshore models from Pioneer, Bulls Bay, Avenger, Jupiter Marine, and Regulator. Visit BlueWaterYachtSales.net.
I am one of thousands of women with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC.
Which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body.
I am living in the moment and taking Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for postmenopausal women or for men with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy.
Be in your moment. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com.
Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
This is the Sportsman's Marine Outdoor Show, live on 105.5 FM and on the Sound of Mobile app. Now, let's head back outdoors with Alan White.
And welcome back to the show. I'm Alan White, and with me right now is Captain Bobby Abrascado of the A-Team Fishing Adventures. Bobby, how you doing, buddy?
Man, I'm doing good. We didn't have to dodge any thunderstorms today for a change.
I know.
It was that way all week. Oh, man, I'm telling you, it seems like we spent as much time hiding out at under boat sheds and marinas as we did fishing. But, you know, that's part of living and fishing here and this time of year, you know. So, but the good news is it doesn't look like we're going to have much except maybe the afternoon thunderstorms the rest of the weekend. So it ought to be good, and especially now we're on this, you know, we're on the full moon cycle right now. I think the moon falls tomorrow night or the next night, but the point is we're on that 3-day window inside of it. And, you know, with that, and I can already see it, the fish kind of gather up. And even though they're kind of getting towards the end of their spawning period, it goes on for a couple more months, but they still, even during the winter when they're not spawning, they still act like they're spawning when you get around this moon. And basically that means that you're finding these fish gathered up in schools to where if you, you know, find one, usually you found a school and you can catch several fish out of it, you know, because they gather up. And trout are a species of fish that feed well even when they're spawning. A lot of species don't, but these do. And so it's kind of fun. And this is also a period, even though the roe sacks are going to be a little bit thinner, this is a period too around the moon where, you know, because the fish are a little more aggressive, you're apt to catch, you know, possibly catch one of your bigger fish. I've caught some of the biggest trout I've caught ever in my life during the heat of the summer months.
Really?
Partly, I think, because I use croakers this time of year, but mm-hmm. I've also caught them on lures, top waters, and things like that, even shrimp. So there's you know, big fish to be caught this time of year if you like to target bigger fish. They had some real pretty 22-inch fish in the rodeos. I think that rodeo this past weekend, they had some that were over 4 pounds, which for a 22-inch trout, that's a big, mm-hmm. that's a heavy fish for a 22-inch trout.
It sounds like it. There is a full moon on Saturday, so we are in a 3-day window on each side of that full moon, which is supposed to be the best time of the month to fish, right?
That's right. If you like to trout fish, I can't speak to some of the other species, but I can tell you from a trout fishing standpoint, that's the time I like to go. And, you know, just for the reasons we just talked about. And, you know, and with that, too, we're even, you know, earlier in the week and through the weekend, we caught, you know, fish, because we're also on this big tide swing, we're on a big hill tide around the moon. And with this higher water that we've been having, that's allowed the fish to me, they stay a lot more active in that shallow water when you get these big tide swings, plus the thunderstorms, which I think kind of aerates the water. And I've been able to catch a lot, which, you know, for the third week of July, catching fish in shallow water is really not the true pattern, but they've been staying active in that shallow water on up into the day. And that's been one of the benefits of having the weather conditions that we've been having, is that. And, you know, again, I think that's going to continue through the weekend because we're all still going to be on that peak tide. And speaking of high water, we were up in the central part of the bay, a little further up where I normally fish yesterday looking for blackfish. And, man, there's a lot of debris in the water. It's, you know, for this time of year, you wouldn't expect it, you know. So I just kind of want to caution people, particularly if you run around at night, mm-hmm. primarily, you know, give or take within a couple miles of Gilliard Island, there's a lot of debris in the water in the form of logs and trees and things like that. So just be careful when you're running around. I guess that's from the high water we've been having. I mean, I literally saw some giant trees floating out there. You know, so if you're running around before daylight, like a lot of us trout guys do, you know, just keep your eyes peeled, slow it down just a little bit, because that's, I was really surprised at how much junk was in the water up there.
Well, that's good advice, because all this rain is washing out all that debris from the Delta, and I'm sure it's going to travel right through the pass out into the Gulf eventually. But
it's got to. Yeah, it's got to go that way, you know. And so there's a lot of opportunities to see a lot of stuff to find blackfish under, I can tell you that. Unfortunately, we didn't see any blackfish, but we found a lot of debris and a lot of stopping and going because, there's a tree there. We got to go over that, you know. And, anyway, we didn't see any, but I'm sure there'll be some ending up underneath it.
Well, good deal. All right, Bobby, you have a great weekend and good luck fishing, okay?
Okay, Big Al, thanks for having me on.
Yes, sir. Hey, let's take a moment here to recognize Hall Sausage and Wholesale Meats. They want to give you a 5-pound pork sausage variety pack right now. Just be the third caller at 694-1055. Some of the most delicious sausage I've ever eaten, and it's made right close to Mobile in Chickasaw, Alabama. All right, Joe Dunn from Miller's Ferry is with us. How you doing, Joe?
Doing great, Alan. I need some of that sausage to throw on the grill tonight.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's great on the grill, believe me. So how's the water up at Miller's Ferry?
Ugly. Yeah. Ugly, ugly. It's back up. Mm-hmm. The main river is flowing real good. It ain't nothing but high water in July. It's hard to believe.
Oh.
Below the dam is almost at minor flood stage, so we got a lot of water to contend with. But saying that, still you can catch some fish in that water. It's not so swift that the long line jugs will be working.
Uh-huh.
You can for your catfish, and actually getting some of the flats with current coming through them. And I throw out some of the short ones, and they're probably going to do good.
Well, good.
Do your tight lining in those creek mouths or right there where there's a, you know, an eddy pool. And actually, you can bottom mount in those right now, too, even with the high water.
Yeah.
And you're going to catch, you know, bass, crappie, and catfish, and, you know, pretty much everything. With the high water, like I said, it come back up. Last weekend, my wife sat on the dock right there behind the house, and she probably caught 25 or 30 crappie, and she had 16 real good keepers.
Mm.
So that high water and cool, the water's still relatively cool for July. Those fish will move back up in that 6 foot. They're not right up on the bank or nothing like that, but they just out from the bank.
Yeah.
Moving out of that deep water, chasing shad because it was overcast and cloudy that day. And we'd, you know, obviously had been having those showers and those fish moved back up in there, and she forevermore hammered them last Saturday morning, though. She had a good trip.
Well, that's great. I'm glad she had a good time. And you have a beautiful place right on the sort of a peninsula but with a little slough behind the house and then the river right in front of it. So you're in a good spot right there.
Yep. And me and her, then we went and bottom bounced and caught more catfish and two or three big crappie out in the river last week. But the conditions have changed a little bit. I don't know. It's going to affect them some out in the river. I think you may do better in the sloughs right now.
Yeah.
Fishing, like I was saying, in that 8-10 foot of water up to them tops hanging off in the sloughs or either trolling out over some structure probably.
Now, is there any chance to go way back up into some of the creeks and find better, clearer water? And what creeks would you recommend?
Oh, yes. The bigger ones that's going to have clear water, Shell Creek will still be good. Going upriver, I would go in Foster Creek, up in the gold mine, up in G's Bend Slough will be good, and then probably even on up in the Buzzard Roost will still be fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these kind of showers, they really don't affect them, but they stay pretty much clear all year unless we get a major flood, high water. And then those are muddy up. But that would be the sloughs I would hit right now.
Mm-hmm.
Further upriver, there may be a few of them that's still clear, but you go to getting to showing up higher water further upriver you go right now.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. And, you know, good old catfish, what would we do without them? I mean, when the water gets muddy and messed up, we can always have fun catching catfish, and long lining in that river is the ticket right now, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. You can do that. You're going to come home with enough to have a real good fish fry.
Well, that's the main thing. You know, we enjoy what we catch. A lot of times we throw back what you don't need, and, you know, conservation is what fishermen should be all about, right?
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Well, it's a beautiful place. Miller's Ferry is always a big attraction for anglers, no matter where you're from. Talk about the landing that's just been redone. Is that Bridgeport?
Yeah, the Bridgeport landing is redone. They just got through having the Alabama Bass Trail there, and they was able to park 200 boats in there and still had room.
That's fantastic.
I was watching those guys. They was launching three and four at a time. So it's a really, really nice facility.
Yeah.
And also over to State Park, they've done put a big, long, big teepee out there now.
That's
and
great.
That thing is real nice.
All right, Joe, you have a great weekend. Thank you so much, man.
Thank you.
We'll be back with Wildlife Manager Austin Delano after these messages.
Charlie Harrison here, previewing Friday's edition of the opening kickoff with Mark and Lee. The final day of SEC Media Days is here, and we will be recapping and talking the big stories, including Oklahoma and Texas potentially joining the SEC. We will also be joined by Chuck Oliver of 680 The Fan, Sunbelt Conference Commissioner Keith Gill, and former Alabama football coach Gene Stallings, all on Friday's opening kickoff.
The opening kickoff with Mark and Lee, weekday mornings from 6 to 9 on WNSP.
Street Seafood and Meat Market on Highway 31 in Bay Minette has a great selection of fresh seafood and meats. Choose from their top cuts of meats or get yours custom cut. Find Street Seafood Restaurant on Facebook for order ahead to go daily buffet specials. A full meal served at the drive up from 10:30 till 3:30. Call 937-4096 and they'll put it together for you. Street's dining room is now open and the banquet room is open for private parties. Street Seafood Restaurant and Meat Market on Highway 31 in Bay Minette. Find them on Facebook.
Sportsman's Marine on the Eastern Shore has been in business since 1950, but they believe that different is better. Not only do they sell top quality Wellcraft, Edgewater, and Vexus boats, along with reliable Yamaha and Mercury outboards, Sportsman's Marine has also added a full-line marine store and tackle shop, and a full-time fishing captain on staff to answer your questions about inshore and offshore fishing. Add a top-notch service department, and Sportsman's Marine is all you need. Located just off Highway 98 in Fairhope, visit sportsmansmarine.com.
How great is it that we have a summer travel season this year? Hi, Chip Nelson here. And through it all, our locally owned Fossack Tires and Service Shops have been there for us. Let's get back on the road with lots of rebates on top-of-the-line tires and service specials throughout the travel season. Plus, we're offering a $50 credit when you open a new Synchrony Car Care account. Come in for details and find rebate information at FossackTire.com. Fossack in Mobile, Daphne, the Foley Beach Express, and now open in Saraland. More service, more value.
It's time to be together again. It's time to hug your grandparents, to play sports again, to gather for dinners, to attend concerts, to laugh together. Masks off. But it's up to you. You determine if this happens. It's time to get vaccinated for your family, children, and community. Together, we can protect each other and get back to doing the things we love. To learn more about where to get vaccinated, visit mchdcares.com. This message has been brought to you by the Mobile County Health Department.
Miller Time. Don't check your wrist or follow up with your supervisor, because Miller Time has nothing to do with when and everything to do with who.
What's up, Tommy?
Miller Lite is brewed for the guys you're proud to call your brothers, who'll always talk you out of getting that faux hawk and never talk.
Nice.
During your backswing. And when you've got your brothers and the light beer that tastes like a beer should,
yeah,
it's not just a good time, it's Miller time.
Great beer, great responsibility. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
This is the Sportsman's Marine Outdoor Show, live on 105.5 FM and on the Sound of Mobile app. Now, let's head back outdoors with Alan White.
And welcome back to the show. I've got a special guest today. One of my favorite guests to have on is wildlife manager expert Austin Delano. Austin, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Appreciate y'all having me again.
Oh, no problem, man. Enjoy having you. You know, you're involved in a television show. Let's start with that. Talk about your television show.
Yeah, man, we've been going at this for several years now, Gamekeepers TV. We really try to concentrate on what guys deal with on a daily basis on managing a piece of property, whether it be for whitetails, turkey, quail, managing a bass pond. We try to encompass everything that gamekeepers do on a daily basis on taking care of a piece of property, whether it's 40 acres or 4,000. And so it's a labor of love, and you know, it coincides with our Gamekeepers magazine that we publish quarterly. So just a heads up for guys that are looking for more information on this type of stuff. It's got about five different show times throughout the week on the Outdoor Channel.
If a lot of people are like me and you just can't get enough of game management information. I mean, I love being on the tractor. I love working on the in the dirt and planting and taking care of the land and the wildlife on the land. So, and you know, the thing is, people don't understand that hunters and wildlife managers like you are not only benefiting the game animals, but wild birds, all kind of non-game species, everything benefits from a little bit of management.
Man, it's so true, and we really try to preach that to people that, you know, we're not just out here trying to make a piece of property better for deer hunting, but most guys that are doing this, like us and like y'all, are, you know, we're in this for everything. The rabbits, the squirrels, songbirds, you know, we're all about conservation and making a piece better, making a piece of dirt better than it was when you found it. And that goes from the smallest thing in the food chain all the way up.
Yep. And speaking of hunting season, it's not too late or it's not too early to start preparing and planning for those fall food plots. People are already having, you know, dove fields have been planted. There's sunflowers up already producing seeds. Is it too late, Austin, right now, if you have been late because of all the rain, is it too late to prepare a dove field, and how would you go about doing that?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's too late. We're definitely kind of getting into the latter part of the growing season for that. But
yeah,
you want to start looking at some shorter maturing varieties like a Japanese millet or a brown top, even a proso type millet that, you know, can make seed inside of 75 days, really. So, and you're right, the rain has been crazy this year. It's a blessing for a lot of reasons, but I'm sitting on a tractor right now because it's the first time I've had a chance to go manicure some of my clover in a couple of weeks because of all the rainfall. So it's something that a lot of people have had to deal with on this part of the country this year, while the other side of the country is burning up with drought. So, you know, it's definitely something to think about. And like you said, there's still some time to get it done. But you want to go ahead and get that accomplished pretty quick, because we're running out of time on being able to make a successful dove field.
Well, you mentioned brown top millet. That's one of my favorite things to plant for doves and turkeys too. But I learned the hard way a couple of years ago. I planted it, but I planted it too thick, and it just didn't make any seed. It came up, it was beautiful, but it was so so thick it didn't make any seeds.
Yeah, it's a common problem. You know, these millets are fairly small seeds, and you really have to pay attention to your planting rate. And as with some other things, you're almost better off being a little bit light on your seeding rate than you are being too heavy, because those plants start, you know, competing with one another for moisture and nutrients in the soil. And like you said, they'll come up and they'll look really great up to a certain point. And then you just see them kind of stall and peter out because they've all kind of run out of fuel. We see this a lot in the Brassica blends. They're so small seeded, really, really easy to overseed those and get too many plants growing per square foot.
I tell you, a little bit of seed goes a long way, doesn't it?
It really does. It is not a situation where if some is good, a lot is better.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You know, it's not too late to plant for dove fields and crops like that, but it's also not too early to start preparing your food plots if you haven't already for deer hunting. One of the things that we do this time of year, and I'm sure you're planning on doing that too, is weed control. Bush hogging, you know, and then spraying. So talk about some of the techniques that you're using on that.
Yeah, definitely. Like you said, not too early, because, you know, ideally, you know, in the northern part of the state, a lot of guys will be putting stuff in the ground the latter part of August and the first week or so of September. And, you know, that kind of trickles down a little bit later into the southern part of the state. But, you know, if you've got fallow fields or fields that, you know, were not planted this year in the spring crop, but you know you're going to be planting them in the fall, it's definitely not a bad idea to go ahead and start making a game plan for when you need to start working on those fields, so that you're not trying to rush and get it all done in one weekend,
yeah,
just you know, at prime time. And one of the major reasons I try to preach this to guys is if you've got a field that's 4 and 5 foot tall full of grass and weeds, which is very common, especially with the rainfall we've had this year,
right,
and you try to bush hog that and you try to disc all that under in one weekend, you're most likely going to have subpar results. One of the biggest reasons is any nitrogen you've got in the ground and any you spread right there at planting time is going to get used up by the soil to decompose all that plant tissue that you're trying to disc in. So one of the biggest advantages to burning a crop, you know, a field down prior to that is to eliminate that growing vegetation and to stop that growing process so that if you do need to disc the ground, you're working in dry, crispy plant material that is not going to burn up hardly any nitrogen to get that incorporated in the ground. And so there's some things like that that you can look at ahead of time. Number one, you'll have a lot less tractor time involved in working that ground up, and you'll make a way better, more successful seed bed than if you're trying to work in 5 feet tall of Johnson grass and dog fennel and ragweed and all that, and you're trying to expect a crop to come up through all that residue that you're probably only working in the top couple of inches of soil.
Now, I imagine there are a lot of food plots in South Alabama, like you said, with all this rain, that are 4 or 5 feet tall in weeds and grass right now. So I would recommend, and you probably tell me if I'm wrong, bush hogging first and let that lay there for a few weeks, and then when it starts growing again, to burn it down with some weed killer. Am I on track there?
Yeah, that really does help, because the more mature your weeds get, the less herbicide uptake you get a lot of times on into the late summer. So when weeds get mature and they're going to a seed stage, they're not going to uptake herbicide near as well as when they're in a really young and thriving growing stage. And so it generally works a lot better to go in there and bush hog it pretty low, and then wait for some fresh regrowth and get in there and use a non-selective, you know, Roundup type herbicide to burn all that down, so that your disc is going to work a lot better. And you know, you can do that several weeks before you plan to plant.
Yeah.
And even if you needed to come back in there and roll the dirt over just a little bit with your disc again, you're going to have a lot less weed competition to deal with. And number one, you're just going to have a lot more consistent and smooth seed bed to plant into.
You know, I had one particular food plot when I took this land or leased this land a long time ago that was just knee high or higher in Kogon grass. And it took me 2 years of working that to eliminate that Kogon grass. It was a lot of work and a lot of expense as far as, you know, the weed killer and bush hogging it, waiting until it sprouted up in a growing stage to apply the weed killer. And I had to apply that weed killer 2 or 3 times before it really quit coming back.
Yeah, Kogon grass is a monster, man. It is a extremely invasive species, and you did a good thing by getting it knocked out, because there's not a lot of people that'll take the time to do it. But it's one of the number one most invasive species we deal with in Alabama, and it can really, really overtake an area quickly. And the problem is not just what it takes over, but it really pushes out a lot of really good species from ever being able to come back in that area if you don't get a handle on it.
I know it. Well, I've enjoyed that food plot. It was in a great place, and I wanted it to work. So I've had many years of enjoying that little spot to hunt in, and I'm sure all the animals have enjoyed it too. So it worked out for me. Austin, I sure appreciate you being with us today. Thank you so much for all your knowledge, and we're going to have you back again before hunting season, buddy.
Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
All right. Y'all check him out at Game Keepers Television Show, and we'll be right back.
The season is is upon us.
The 2021 SEC Media Days are here, presented by Ken Morgan Allstate Insurance and Moe's Original Barbecue, and Sports Radio 105.5 WNSP has you covered. Hey, folks, it's Dave Schultz, and the game plan will be broadcasting live from Hoover. Plus, I'll give updates on the opening kickoff all week. You'll hear from the coaches, the players, and media that cover the SEC. The 2021 SEC Media Days is powered by Brainworks, Ward International Trucks, Bayou Fasteners, Home Hardware Center, and Southern Cancer Center.
With summer here, it's time to take care of those pesky boat problems you've been putting off. Visit Blue Water Yacht Sales today so you'll be ready to hit the water in the warmer weather. Blue Water is a full-line Yamaha outboard dealer and is a 5-star gold service facility with a Yamaha Master Tech on hand. And now is the time to start looking for that new boat you've been dreaming about. Blue Water carries a full assortment of inshore and offshore models from Pioneer, Bulls Bay, Avenger, Jupiter Marine, and Regulator. Visit BlueWaterYachtSales.net.
Equipment Sales Company on Highway 59, across from Dental Ease in Bay Minette, is the one-stop shop for all your tractor and lawnmower parts. Equipment Sales Company's low prices and great service is what has built the business for 25 years. Before you buy parts or implements for any brand, tractor or mower, check with Equipment Sales Company first. Call Equipment Sales at 937-5313 or visit them at 2505 Highway 59 in Bay Minette and save yourself some money. Call today, 937-5313.
With the summertime heat upon us, it's time to put our vehicle's air conditioners into full gear. Pat's Industrial and Auto Supply reminds you that they have a wide selection of hoses for automotive, AC units, heavy equipment, and more. Pat's also has great prices on Freon, and they carry components for compressors, dryers, condensers, and AC units. Pat's Industrial and Auto Supply in Biola Battery or off I-165 on Whistler Street. Pat's Industrial and Auto Supply, getting the right parts every time since 1959.
Ward Trucks is a family-owned business proudly serving the Gulf Coast since 1985. With dealerships in Mobile, Pensacola, and Tallahassee, Ward Trucks is your trucking needs covered, and a new Isuzu NPR just might be the perfect fit for your business. With its outstanding visibility and amazing turning radius, it's no wonder that the Isuzu NPR has been America's number one selling LCF truck since 1986. Available in many different configurations with seating up to 7, the Isuzu NPR might be the perfect fit to help your crew. Call Ward Trucks now at 433-5616 to learn more.
From the plains to the capstone, the sports station stays on top of all the latest Auburn and Alabama news with the Tide and Tiger Report, Thursdays at 5 p.m. on WNSP. Join Dave Schultz for 60 minutes of Alabama and Auburn recruiting news and the inside information you're looking for. Brought to you by Jordan Automotive. The Tide and Tiger Report, Thursday at 5 on WNSP. This is the Sportsman's Marine Outdoor Show, live on 105.5 FM and on the Sound of Mobile app. Now, let's head back outdoors with Alan White.
And welcome back to the show. Before we have David Thornton on with our pier fishing report, I want to give away two ribeye steaks to the third caller at 694-1055. These steaks are compliments of our sponsor, Street Seafood and Meat Market in Bay Minette, Alabama. Right there on Highway 31, you're familiar with Street's Restaurant. Well, the meat market is just behind the restaurant. Easy to find, easy to get to, and easy to deal with. Two ribeye steaks, third caller, 694-1055. David, that sounds like a pretty good deal to me.
It really does, Alan. I'm tempted to hang up so I can be the third caller. You know? I hope you understand.
Yeah,
no, that's good stuff, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, tell us what's going on along the coastal Alabama fishing scene this week.
Yeah, there's some good groceries to be had, you know, along the beaches as well. I had fished with some folks from out of town this week, and we caught Spanish mackerel right off the beach and got chased by the rain. But that seems to be like it may be getting behind us. You know, we're getting into a drier spell now,
mm-hmm.
and the next few days at least look like more late July, early August kind of weather we would expect to see, with just isolated thunder showers instead of the, you know, pretty much numerous or almost you could set your watch by.
Well, I sure hope
going to be coming.
I sure hope you're right, because I for one am sick of all the rain every day.
Yeah,
my yard is like a big giant mud hole right now.
I think everybody is like that. Yeah, it's and it's. I believe it's affected the water quality as well. Mm. You know, all this runoff has put a lot of nutrient into the water, and the June grass, summer grass is kind of extended here into late July, which is pretty unusual for us.
Yeah,
and the worst I've seen in 30 years, and for the Alabama coast, and it doesn't. It maybe seem like it's kind of reached its peak and maybe declining a bit in places. Mm-hmm. In fact, where I fished in Orange Beach this week, it was really clear. We didn't have any issues at all. But there are still some people in Gulf Shores, parts of the Fort Morgan Peninsula, that just complain that the water is totally unfishable from the beach.
Huh.
Now, from the state pier, it's kind of thinned out a little bit. Anglers are picking up a few speckled trout at times. If the wind's not blowing too hard, the grass kind of settles to the bottom.
Oh, yeah.
And the other day when I was there, it was, some big holes in the grass where you could, see fish swimming around and such. And they were catching some nice-sized Spanish mackerel. Not a lot of them, but there were enough around to where it would be worth the time to throw in a plug or I was throwing a bubble rig with a small diving plug on it, and guys were doing okay with the gotcha plugs as well, and also the Rapalas, which are diving plugs that are the size 10 is just right for the Spanish mackerel.
Hmm. Are the flounder showing up again?
There's a few flounder, yeah. Buddy of mine was fishing with live shrimp, and he caught on a float, he caught some Spanish mackerel, and then putting them on bottom, he did catch keeper flounder, which that typical for Gulf State Pier, there's more throwbacks than there is keepers. But some folks have been catching keepers, like in the surf at Dolphin Island, around the East End jetties, and along the beaches, when the grass is allowed, that kind of fishing, and also at Perdido Pass.
Cool.
Now, at Perdido Pass, there's lots of pinfish and pigfish along the seawall. So there it would probably be better to use minnows or jigs, like a gulp jig or something like that, to try and flounder fish.
When do you think they'll start construction again or repairs again on the pier?
Yeah, that's a good question. And they haven't announced exactly, but the suspected scenario is that they're kind of waiting until after hurricane season, at least until October. And that's when the money comes free anyway for the fiscal year. And they have the funding has been allocated for next year to do the repairs. And they're in the process now of getting the permitting from the federal regulatory places, like the NOAA has to sign off on it because it can affect sea turtles and stuff like that.
I see.
So we're just waiting for the official word as to when they expect to start construction, and perhaps they should have a scenario of how long they expect the construction to take, and whether or not the pier is going to remain open while they're working on the end of it, things like that.
Yeah.
So those are questions that have yet to be answered at least to be released to the public. So we hope that they're getting all those ducks in a row and they can start construction perhaps as early as November, but they're saying certainly at the end of the year, they're expecting to go ahead and be able to start work then.
Mm-hmm. Well, we certainly keep our listeners informed, so through you and others, so we'll keep our audience informed on what's going on, if anything changes on the pier. What about night fishing right now, David? Is this a good time for night fishing? Because it sure is hot during the day.
It sure is, yeah. It can be – that's the downside of not getting as much rain, is that it can be brutally hot during the middle of the day. And certainly anglers would want to, fish more in the early and late part of the day. and night fishing is a good alternative. Places like Cedar Point Pier, that's an excellent venue to, you know, beat the heat, but it's pretty popular. So you want to get there early to get you a spot. And the best places typically, especially for white trout, are over those lights. But also Fairhope Pier is reopened, and it it has fishing at night. And the Gulf State Park Pier does have lights, but they're not as bright as they used to be. They had to turn them down because of the turtle regulations. And so it's not as easy as it used to be. Plus, they're having to deal with the June grass as well.
Well, there's certainly plenty of opportunities, not only on the piers, but, you know, in Perdita Pass area, down at Fort Morgan area. Some of those places have been producing all types of different species recently. Am I right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a lot of bluefish especially. And one way that anglers get around the fishing if the June grass is on the bottom is they'll fish, you know, surface plugs or you know, just jigs and spoons, casting and retrieving to target bluefish. And they may catch speckled trout as well using those, and certainly Spanish mackerel in the mix, like we did the other day. And then once the sun gets up and that bite kind of turns off, typically you can kind of look around and find a shallow sandbar nearby where the grass isn't very thick. And fish with pieces of shrimp fairly close to shore for whiting, you know. And most people overcast those fish, but they often are within 15, you know, yards of the shoreline. And just a soft cast. And what I like to do is tackle down and even use, like, ultralight tackle with a 7-foot medium action rod, you know, even going down to 4-pound test. And these, you know, 14-inch whiting on that kind of tackle, it just takes it to a whole nother level. You know, it's really fun finesse fishing for medium-sized panfish like that. And you can, you know, cull through, you know, the smaller fish and the different species and get a nice, you know, mess of whiting in just a few hours. It's really a lot of fun, you know, and nothing expensive or, you know, hard to do at all. You know, the fish bites or something like that does help to keep some bait on the hook. But most of the time we're just using pieces of frozen shrimp, and that seems to attract them just fine because they're up on those sandbars actively looking for food, you know, at the tide change, which is like mid to late morning. And, you know, usually by close to noon, everybody's ready to knock off. But in the afternoon, as the tide goes out, you've got another window that opens up, with especially if the sea breeze picks up, it makes it a little more comfortable in the afternoon, late hours, like from 5 p.m. till dark or dark 30, and you can get out there on the beach. And again, the bluefish might come in chasing bait fish along the shoreline. And so I like to have a rod and reel ready with a spoon or something tied onto it that I can throw or cast to any breaking school fish that I see on the surface, or maybe just to try something a little different, you know. But you're not constantly chunking and grinding to where you work up a sweat. You can sit back in the chair and, you know, drink a cool drink and, and just wait for a bite if the whiting come along. And there's always a chance of a redfish or a pompano also, you know, just anything could come by.
Now that sounds like my kind of fishing. I need to get with you and let you take me down there one day. I know you do some guiding, so I'm going to get you to show me a trick or two on that kind of fishing.
All right, it'd be my pleasure.
But David, I appreciate you being on, man. Thank you so much, and we always look forward to your report.
Anytime, Alan. Y'all have a great weekend.
All right. And that's going to do it for this week, folks. We'll be back next week on the Sportsman's Marine Outdoor Show.